that his people are facing difficult, difficult times. I sense that people are going through stuff that maybe they don't even talk about. They don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, some people. Or they're concerned about what's going to happen. Or there's a hurt. You're sitting here and you're hurting. Or there's sickness in your body. Or there's a financial problem that you don't know how you're going to deal with it. There are times as Christians that we face circumstances that don't make sense. And we say, but I'm a Christian. I've been praying. I've asked the Lord, what is going on? Why is nothing happening? Does that make sense to you? Am I speaking to people that can identify with what I'm saying this morning? Show me a show of hands if you... Yes, okay, so I'm speaking to the right congregation. Everything may seem to be going well, but the next minute, the wheels just, it's like they fall off. Have you ever ridden behind a taxi and seen this wheel go off? It's actually a scary sight. Or rather, not only taxis, you see it in old cars. You see it rolling down the roll and the wheel's off. You're going no further. But you were doing fine up until that point. It happens in our lives as well. And sometimes it may cause us to bring our faith into question. Sometimes it may bring us to the place where we say, I don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven. I don't know why I bother to serve God because things are not changing. Are there Christians in this house that have felt that way? Amen? And other times it doesn't bring us to bring our faith into question. We just set aside our faith and we start relying in the flesh instead. And we say, well, if God's not going to do it, I'm going to do it. Amen? The money's not coming in, and I need to sort out this issue. So instead, I will go, and I'll take a loan from the bank. Who's done that? Come on. People have done that. And what it does is it brings a whip over your back because somebody's got control over your life. I know sometimes we need to take a loan. If you want to buy a house... Sometimes if you need to buy a car, in fact today, even if I can buy a car, I don't know if I would because they've got so expensive. But you understand what I'm saying? And the Lord says, wait, I've got something for you. I'm going to, and you say, no, I can't wait anymore. And we move out into the flesh, and we move in the flesh. But I want to tell you, as you're a child of God, I was reminded of that scripture in Romans 8 this morning, where the Holy Spirit combines with our spirit, still too high. And it cries out, Abba, Father. We are children. Abba means daddy. It means, it's an intimate name for father. You have to drink some water, yeah, sorry. It's a close name for father. Joshua would call me, and if we were Jews living in the Old Testament times, he would call me Abba. He would call me fondly dad. Or my daughters, I always say I love hearing them call me daddy. Right, father. It speaks about an intimate relationship. It speaks about somebody we can approach and we know who loves us and is not going to. I know men have painted the wrong picture over the years, but when we talk of the proper form of dad, it's somebody who's going to love us. It's somebody who's going to help us. That's who God has called us to be. And this morning he wants to remind us that we can have faith in him. He wants to remind us that in our lives, he is in it. I can tell you now, my children do things that I don't know about. God knows everything about us. But if I know about something my child does, I'm in it. I might not physically take hold of what they're doing or even speak to them, but I'll tell you, I'm praying about it. I care about it. I don't want to see them making a mistake. I don't want to see them going through hardship. And our Father is in it, in our circumstances, no matter what we go through. Can I hear you say it? God is in it. God is in it. Amen. You're going to say it a lot, so next time I want it to be louder. What is God in? Well, God is in it when we've got a dream. Who's got a dream here? Can I see a show of hands? God is in it when we've got a dream. When you talk about keeping our dreams alive, we need to realize if we want to keep our dreams alive, then we need to realize that. Ah, you got it. So if I do this today, just now I'm going to do it. You can say, God is going to say, no, no, that's not what I wanted you to. Okay. So if we want to keep our dreams alive, we must realize that. Amen. Amen. So where do we learn about dreams? We learn about dreams from From David. Ach, not David. Joseph. Sorry. All right, Genesis 37. I'm going to read it for you. Who knows about Joseph? He was a son of Jacob. He was a son of Isaac. He was a son of Abraham. Jacob, by definition, was a son of Abraham. He was a grandson, a great-grandson. Okay, we are children of Abraham. We've been grafted into the vine, you and I. Okay? Joseph was Jacob's favorite son, born from his favorite wife, Rachel. He was the first son. He only had two wives from Rachel, but he wasn't Jacob's first son. He was one of the last ones. Okay? Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told his brothers, and they hated him even more. Why did they hate him? Because his father made him that robe of many colors, and he wore it proudly. And he was a little bit arrogant, as young people can be. They get a little bit full of themselves. Amen? Young people, I'm just joking. It was very silent. But he was probably swagging around in his fancy coat and saying, yeah, you see, Dad loves me. And his brothers didn't like it at all, and they hated him for it. Because they could see, don't ever have a favorite amongst your children. Love your children equally. Because your children will see it, and it hurts. It causes hurt. But Joseph was Jacob's favorite. And he had this dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I've dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Can you just imagine their response? This little twerp of a little brother of theirs, telling them they will bow to him. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams. Sometimes people hate you. And Joseph had a dream, but I'm talking about our dreams in life. Some people will hate you because you got a big dream. And you say, God showed me that he's going to use me in this way or that way. And they'll hate you for it. And they'll mock you. And they'll be incredulous about it. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. And said, look, I've dreamed another dream. This time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed to me. The sun and the moon referred to his parents. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? Are you mad? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Sometimes when people mock you for your dream, it's not because they're mad at you, it's because they envy you. I want that dream. Why doesn't God talk to me that way? Amen? Clearly God had a great plan for Joseph, and he showed Joseph. I want to tell you the truth, God has got a great plan for each and every one of us. We know Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to bless you and not of disaster. Amen? He's got a good plan for your life. So if you know that God has got a good plan for your life, he's put a God-sized dream in your heart. A dream that's too big for you to handle in the flesh. And people haven't taken you seriously, and they say, ach, no, man, you're not even God. You're not that person. People will never use you. Don't worry. You're in good company. Many people have experienced it. Joseph experienced it. Hang on to your dream. Because why? Because? Yalimut vakav, yes. All right. God was in it. Everything fell apart. The wheels came off the taxi. Because his brothers schemed against him. And they wanted to kill him, but they sold him into slavery. All of a sudden, the wheels fell off. But, I need you to shout at church. You need to start catching this, otherwise it's going to be a very hard preach for me. God was in it. Why was God in it? Because God gave Joseph favor. He landed up as a slave in Potiphar's house, and we know the story. Soon, he became second only to Potiphar. Potiphar put him in charge of the whole household. But Potiphar had a wife that had an eye for young Joseph, who was a handsome young man. Right? He wasn't wearing his colored coat anymore, but he had been lifted up. By who? By God. Because God was in it. Amen. And then the wheel fell off all over again when she tried to seduce him, and he said, God's got a plan for me. God is in it. If I want to keep God in it, I've got to stay in line with God's plan for my life. I can't start to compromise. And the wheels fell off again. And Joseph, who was just rising up out of the mire of being thrown in that pit and sold to those slave traders, was in the pit again. He got thrown into whose prison? Pharaoh's prison. He wasn't thrown in the common prison. He was thrown in Pharaoh's prison. Because why? Because God was in it. And there God raised him up again. And he had favor with the warder that was in charge of the prison. And soon the warder put all the prisoners under Joseph's charge. Things were going right once again. Even though he was in prison. And God gave him favor and blessed him. Let me tell you, church, if God is in it, He's blessing your life. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, you may be in the prison, you may be a slave working in Potiphar's household, but God is in it and He will give you favor. Church, this, the prophetic word I spoke out over you about the enemy trying to put a dampener on your lamp. It's the same thing. When God blesses you, don't let the enemy put the dampener on it. If things start going right, start to say, but God is in it, no matter what I see. And so in the prison, while he was there, Pharaoh had his dream, and his baker and his cupbearer were there, and Joseph interpreted the dream for them. And he said in 3 days, basically the baker would have his head chopped off, but in 3 days the cupbearer would be restored to service. And he said, but only remember me when you get out of this place. And the wheels fell off again. Because what happened? The cupbearer forgot all about him. Like I forgot about you this morning, Cheryl. I'm so sorry. But he was forgotten once again. He was languishing in prison. He might have been over all the prisoners. But I can tell you right now that Joseph didn't want to be in prison. Would you want to be in prison? No. But what? Amen. And Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. And the cupbearer said, but I had a dream in prison. And so did the baker. And this man interpreted absolutely correctly, because what he interpreted was what came to pass. And in all the land, there was nobody that could interpret Pharaoh's dream. Who knows if you're here today, church? And in all the land, there's nobody who can do for you or for anybody else what God has called for you to do. Because what? God is in it. He's got a plan for your life. And Joseph was called up and he went before Pharaoh and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream correctly. And Pharaoh said, who is there like this man? And he said, I'll put you over everything in my land. You'll be second to me only. God raised Joseph up. Because what? When you leave here today, you're going to be tired of saying God is in it. But you must stop saying it so, you know, don't let the enemy hold you down. Shout it out. Because God is in it. Amen. Hallelujah. God was in it. And surely, even though his wheels had fallen down off those 3 times, God remained in his dream. Because he had Joseph was raised up. And he became the second most powerful man. Not just in the land, but in the world. In the world that they knew. Because what happened? They planned for the famine that came. And the people came and sold. They basically sold everything to Pharaoh. And eventually Pharaoh owned everything. He owned the people, he owned their properties, he owned their cattle. And they became effectively slaves. Effectively. But not only the people in Egypt. Because Jacob's children came to look for food. They came with money. The most powerful person in the land is the one that can feed everybody. You know what they say? The next world war will be fought over water. Okay? If you've got water and there's a shortage of water, you've got power. If you've got food and there's a shortage of food, you've got power. So Jacob became effectively the second most powerful man in the known world. And true to God's promise, Jacob's dream came to pass because his brothers came in, bowed before him. Why? Because God was in it. And I want to ask you today, how many times have you had to start again? How many times are you willing to start again? You may have a promise from God. You may know that God has got something better for you, but you've had the wheels fall off, just like Joseph did. You thought he was going to raise you up and your brothers were going to come and bow before you. But instead, you landed up with a debt far bigger than what you can handle. You landed up with staff that let you down. You landed up with a business that nobody came to and it started to fail. Are you willing to say, but God is in it because I'm a child of God and I'm going to trust him regardless? And start again and start again and start again? Or are you willing to give up and say, God doesn't love me. God's not in it. Amen? That's the challenge today. I honestly feel there's people here today that are ready to give up. They're saying, ugh, I've tried. Ek geen maar op. I give up. I'm not going to go through this. Not one more day. But God is in it. Amen. Never lose patience. Never lose heart. Never give up. God has our future at heart. That's my second point this morning. We need to understand that God is not always interested in our now. That's the problem. I must just tell you, something jumped into mind this morning while we were here. We sang that song, Coming Back to the Heart of Worship. It's all about you. It's not about me. God wants to challenge us today. Has it become all about me? It's all about me. All about me. I don't care about anybody else. It's all about me. I'll do it my way. Not God's way. I'm more important than God. God has got our future at heart. But sometimes because it's all about me, all that worries us is the now. I'm going through this now. My difficulties are now. God better move now or else I'm going to walk. God has got our future at heart. That man outside the gate this week, I said to him, he might have thought I'm very hard. I said to him, you know, God's not that worried about the fact that you're cold, about the fact that you're not eating. I don't know if I said exactly these words to him, but I said something like this. He's more worried that you spend eternity with him. Amen? Church, I want to tell you today, there was not a need among them, but even if there were needs, God's more interested in your future than your current. He is. He sent his son to die, not so that you could have a good current, so that you could have a good future. Doesn't that make sense? But there are benefits for being children in God's kingdom, because he will bless you in the now. But we need to have patience. We need to realize that sometimes the things he does is about the future. And I go back to the story of Joseph, but I jump forward to Genesis 45 verse 5. And he speaks to his brothers as he reveals himself to them. And in my English Standard Version, it says this, "And now do not be distressed or angry at yourselves because you sold me out, for God sent me here to preserve life. God sent me ahead of you. God sent Joseph to Egypt because he knew there was a famine coming somewhere in the future." Say it with me, in the future. Genesis 45 verse 7. "God sent me ahead of you to preserve you and to save your lives by great deliverance." In the future. God even allowed Jacob to think his son was dead for many years, because he had a plan for Jacob and his offspring in the future. Sometimes we go through difficulties in the current and we lose our faith and we start moving in the flesh. When we lose view of the fact that God is planning for our future. "I've given you a future and a hope." Isn't that what it says in Jeremiah 29:11? "I've given you a future and a hope." Have you maybe lost sight of the fact that God is working for your future? And you're expecting him to move right now, and right now is not quite his time? I want to encourage you, church. God's got a future for you. And then, Joseph, understanding God's purpose, could love those that hurt him and sold him in slavery and wanted to kill him. Isn't it amazing? He said, you wanted to, don't be too hard on yourselves. Forgive yourselves, because God had a plan. Are you able to forgive? Are you able to forgive when you've been hurt now? Because God's got a plan for you in the future. And he allowed that hurt to happen, because somewhere in the future, something beautiful will come of it. He makes all things beautiful in his time. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes. Not everything, my third point, ends as we expect. Not everything ends as we expect. Think of Joseph's father, Jacob. He ran away because he caused nonsense. But on the way, he had that dream, and angels were ascending and descending the ladder to heaven. And in that place, he made a commitment to God. And he said to God, if you will bless me, I will serve you. And I'll give a tenth of everything I own to you. And he moved on, and he found his uncle Laban. And he found this most beautiful young lady, Rachel. Man, she stole his heart. He had eyes for one girl and one girl only. She was his bookie. Amen. And his life was all, he got up in the morning and he worked. He went and looked after the sheep. All he could think of was Rachel. Okay, I'm enhancing the story a little bit for entertainment purposes and to get your attention. So Rachel was the girl for him. And he went to Laban and said, I need this girl. I want to marry her. And Laban, being a cruel taskmaster and not a very nice guy, and Jacob having to have reap what he sowed because he deceived his brother and he lied to his father, he ended up working for Laban for 7 years so he could get Rachel. But the day came when they celebrated and the marriage happened and they went in that night to consummate the marriage, and he woke up in the morning and he had a look and said, what? No! And his wheels fell off. Amen. And he looked and he didn't see pretty sister Rachel. He saw ugly sister Lee. Amen. She had weak eyes, the Bible says. And his eyes nearly popped out. And he said, what? Not everything ends the way we expect, church. But God had a plan and a purpose in it. Because Lee bore Jacob many good sons. And they all became heads of the tribes of Israel. And they were blessed. And if you read on later about when he buried Lee, he learned to love Lee. He loved Rachel. He always loved her. Her son was Joseph, and the other one was Benjamin, and they were precious to him. And he was always the favorite. She was always the favorite wife. Imagine if we had more than one wife, guys. What trouble we'd be in. Not everything ends the way we expect it. In Genesis 38, if we go to one of the sons, Judah had sex with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Okay. She had to disguise herself as a prostitute. And she fell pregnant and he wanted to kill her until she pointed out that she'd been far more righteous than what he had. Was it Judah? I've got it right, okay. I was just looking at this thinking, have I got that right? Okay. When the time came for her to give birth, it says in Genesis 38, verse 27 to 29, it was discovered that she was carrying twins. Now, who knows the firstborn was the important one? In those days, the firstborn was the one that got the full inheritance and the blessings. We know that God changed things over many times, right? Because he knows how to sort us out. Because we get set in our ways. But it's his plan. Why? Because God is in it. God is in it, right? While she was in labor, when one of the babies reached out his hand, the midwife grabbed it and tied a scarlet string around the child's wrist, announcing, this one came out first. But God was in it. And when he pulled back his hand, the other brother came out first. So what the midwife thought was going to happen didn't happen. Because God was in it and he had a different plan. And the one that came out, they named Perez, which means he breaks out. He comes out. God is Perizim, God of the breakthrough. There's the banner at the back. God had a plan for Perez to come out first. The midwife tied this thread around. She thought she knew what the outcome is. Sometimes we think we know what the outcome is. We look at our circumstances and we analyze them. You look at the country, you see the problems in the country, you say, it's time to run now. Things are going wrong in this country. You look at your finances, oh my word, I'm going bankrupt. You look at the health report and you say, I'm going to die. You think you know the outcome, but and he might have a different outcome for you. And I want to encourage you, church, even though it may not come out the way that you expect, it's going to come out God's way because he is in it and he wants to bless you. He knows better, church. We need to realize that God's ways are not our ways. We will not always get the outcome we want. We mustn't be disillusioned. We mustn't give up on God. We mustn't turn our back on our faith. We must trust him and say, Lord, I don't understand. It didn't happen the way I thought it would happen, but I trust you because you are in it, and I will get my victory. Romans 8 verse 28 tells us, we know it so well. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Are you called according to God's purpose? Then everything will work together for your good. Say it. Everything will work together for my good. Even if the outcome is not what I expect. Amen. When things seem to be going wrong, trust God. When the negative outcome seems certain, trust God. It's not over. That's that song. It's not over. It's not ended. It's not finished. When God is in it, there is no limit. It's not over. Say it with me. It's not over. What are you facing? I'm going to cut this message short, but I'll tell you my other point. When God is in it, He fights our battles. Think of King Jehoshaphat. A huge army came against him, and he was afraid. But God was in it. And God said, don't be afraid. Go out tomorrow and stand and praise me. And as you praise me, I will give you the victory. When God is in it, He'll fight your battles for you. You don't have to fight them for yourself. But too often we go out and stretch out in the flesh and we say the wrong thing and we fight with our brothers and our sisters and we go and we battle against the system. But let God be in it. And you might just find the outcome is far better than what you're expecting. Amen? Are you still with me, church? God was in it. The battle is not yours. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, because God is in it. You may be dealing with fear and anxiety this morning. You may not know what the future holds, but say this, God is in it. Hallelujah. You may be afraid, but you may not know, but you may not understand, but you may not feel well, but your bank account might be in overdraft, but hallelujah. Can we give the Lord praise? The victory is mine when the battle is in the Lord's. I want to make one last point. When God is in it, we are blessed regardless. Jacob fled from his brother Esau. And then I told you about the situation where he had the dream. In Genesis 28, verse 20 to 21. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I may come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Right there he made a commitment to the Lord. It might not have even been a proper commitment, but he made a commitment to God. He tried to bargain. He said, if God, then I. We don't do that, but he did it, and God blessed him. Verse 31, Genesis 31, 67. And you know that with all my might I have served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. Who knows that in this country people get paid unfair wages? What we do, we go in toy toy and we go out on the streets, and we say, I won't work. I'll manipulate until I get it, okay? I've never been in that situation. I've been privileged, all right? So I understand. I speak from a place of privilege. Who knows? In this country, people feel like there's not a place for them anymore. Who knows that fear is striking in the hearts of people because they think their land is going to be taken away from them without compensation. You know that people, I think people are starting to be afraid that their houses are going to be taken away from them. It's not going to happen, church. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you now, it's not going to happen. It's a lie of the devil. Don't believe it. The people that have farms, people that have livestock and properties, have much more risk than you in your nice warm house. Pray for them. But it doesn't matter how unfair somebody treats you. You may have a boss that's ugly to you. That's promised you an increase. That's promised you a promotion, and it doesn't come. But what? But because you're a child of God, God is in it. It will come. It doesn't matter how many times Laban deceived Jacob. When Jacob left there, he was a wealthy, 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 wealthy man. Because why? Because? Amen. So instead of leaning to the world's ways of doing things, complaining about your boss, of saying, well, God brought me to this place, but my boss didn't give me the increase, I promise, I'm out of here. Cheers. I'm out of here. Say, no, I'm going to God. He promised me. He's in it. He will bless me. I'm his child. My future is great. I will have everything I need. If I've got to wait for a promotion, I'll wait for it. If I need to wait for an increase, I'll wait for it. But I know that the outcome for me is going to be better because God is in it. And God will prosper me. I'm a child of God. He will bless me. He will give me the favor I need. And one day I'll look back and I'll be able to say, God is in it. Amen. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, my conclusion this morning. Our Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. In church, if I want to summarize the message that I've taught you this morning, I want to summarize by saying God is in it. If God is in it, it's all going to work out right. It's going to be okay. Say that with me. It's going to be okay. Say it again. It's going to be okay. I want us to say it loud. It's going to be okay. Why? God is in it. Amen. We need to start walking with a steadfast faith, church. The problem with us is we say we got faith and then we walk away, and when we're on our own, when we're in that difficult situation, we forget that we got faith. But God is in it. We need to start walking in steadfast faith. Hold on to your dream. God is in it. And if He's in it, it will become a reality. Develop a vision for the future, even though that you don't see things happening right here as you would plan and would want them to happen. God is in it. It will come to pass. Don't limit your expected outcome. Don't limit God by what you expect the outcome to be, because maybe He's got a different outcome. And if He's got a different outcome, you must know it's going to be a better outcome. Amen? Don't be afraid when you face a battle. Because God is in it. He will fight for you. Don't worry about opposition, unfair treatment, and setbacks. If God is in it, you will come through. We serve a faithful God. We serve a good God. We serve an able God. If He's in it, you will come through it. Amen. Let's stand, church. I just want to tell you one more situation. One more situation which could have caused helplessness and hopelessness. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, walked on this earth for 3 years. He taught people. He witnessed to them. He trained them up. He had disciples following Him. But there came a day when they nailed Him on a cross. And He closed His eyes in death. And before He closed His eyes, He shouted, "It is finished." And the people watching must have thought, "The wheels have come off. There's no hope. There's no hope. What are we going to do now? We're going to have to wait for another Messiah." But God was in it. And 3 days later, 3 days later, that stone rolled away and there was an empty tomb because Jesus was up. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? If the same Spirit that raised Christ dwells in you, He will quicken your mortal body. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, He can bring life to every dead situation that you are experiencing and going through, and every concern and every worry. He can deal with it because He's God. Amen. Let's close our eyes. If you're facing a difficult situation this morning, if you've been dealing with a situation such as what I've spoken about this morning, if you started to lose hope, if you don't know what the outcome's going to be, if you're worried about your health, if you're worried about your finances, about your business or your employment, if it looks like there's a dark horizon, just put up your hand. Just put up your hand. I know there's lots of hands going up in here. God loves His people, and that's why He spoke to you this morning. Lord, I thank You for every hand that is here, that is up. I thank You for every person that is here in the church this morning. I thank You that there's not one situation or circumstance or problem that is too big for You. Our Lord God, nothing is impossible for You. We thank You, Lord God, that we've heard this morning that You are in it. No matter what the outcome may be, You are in it. You will ensure that we are blessed. I pray, grant each one a good and a positive outcome. Pray for Your peace for Your people. Lord God, that we will have a sound mind. Lord, that You'll guard our hearts and our minds as we make our requests known to You with faith, with thanksgiving, trusting You for a good future outcome. Pray, Lord God, where the enemy has come to try and sow havoc and grief and problems, that You will fight for us, that You go before us and give us the victory. And Lord God, that we will be taking the spoils of battle away for 3 whole days in the spiritual realm. Pray for victory for every person that's put up their hand. God is in it. Let them go away encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's just, I just want to ask you to drop your head, close your eyes. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you've never made sure that you've got a personal relationship with Him, if you think you know about Him, but you've never asked Him to come in and dwell within, then it's going to be very difficult for God to be in your situation and in your circumstances. Because He will bless His children. He loves us all, but He will bless His children. He'll be your Abba Father. If you've never asked Him to be your Father, your Daddy God, if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, will you put up your hand now? If you need to commit your heart to Jesus, I see that hand. Is there anybody else? I see those hands. Anybody else? Just lift it high so I can see. All right, just keep those hands up. I'm not going to call you forward. You can come and speak to me after if you need to. Father, I thank you for the people that raised their hands this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you will come and dwell in their lives, that you will turn their lives around, that you'll take hold of their hearts, that they will know that you indwell them as they have invited you in this morning by putting up their hand. I want us to say this together. Lord Jesus, please come and be in it in my life. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I will never be the same. In your precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Can we give the Lord another praise offering?